This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Upcoming BRICS Summit that's going to be happening in a few weeks from now. They may be admitting some new nations into BRICS, which is already representing over 42% of the world's population as it stands, with just five countries as members there. We can talk more about that coming up here. It's Ian and Jay joining you. The number is 603-283-6160. We'll continue that discussion on the way. We'll also go to your phone calls and thoughts. And coming up, Jay wants to weigh in on the UFO situation as well. But first, we have Skeeter on the line in California. Go ahead, Skeeter. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, you interrupted my argument that your hypocritical secession movement relied on free riding on the national U.S. national defense, right, with a counterexample using Costa Rica as like a paradigm of how nations don't need national defense. But you failed to mention that Costa Rica is explicitly protected by the U.S. under the Rio Treaty of 1947.
Okay, well, minor point, but New Hampshire is loaded with guns. We have no need for the United States to protect us.
What good is guns going to do against a real government? You can't secede in a sea of government sharks.
The reason why Japan never invaded the United States, at least it's an apocryphal quote, is that the Admiral Yamamoto has supposedly said something to the effect of, there's a rifle behind every blade of grass. So it's a reality.
It would be very hard to overcome the rugged mountain terrain of New England, Quebec, New York, Pennsylvania. It'd probably
I'm pretty
be easy.
Sure it had to do with destroyers in the sea and bombers, like firebombing.
I mean, yeah, you could just carpet bomb an entire, you know, landmass, sure.
Yeah, but then there's nothing to take over.
Right.
How many jet fighters does New Hampshire own?
Well, it doesn't matter. We're not going to be invading other countries.
There is a New Hampshire Air National Guard that if New Hampshire became, sovereign with respect of the United States Corporation, then yes, there would actually be some jet fighters.
Is that what you're saying, Skeeter?
Yeah,
you think that the United States government is going to carpet bomb New Hampshire?
No, I mean, any government. You can't, like, take for example, you want a real libertarian example? Try the Republic of Minerva. See what happened to them when they tried to liberate, like, just an island. And they got taken over by a small little nation called Tonga.
Okay, Tonga didn't carpet bomb them, though, did they?
No, they didn't have to. They were so scared they ran them off.
Okay, well, you've never been to New Hampshire, have you?
What does that deal? I'm not a government, am I? Do I have a tank?
You don't understand the point. The people of New Hampshire they're called Granite Staters for a reason. They're pretty hardy, self-reliant, rugged individualists, and they are very well-armed, probably one of the most well-armed states in the entire world.
And they're all hunters.
Yeah, and like, they're not going to just...
They're
not going to let the king of Tonga roll up in a gunboat and take over the country, okay? It's just not going to happen. And the fact is...
Yeah, but they have jet fighters.
So what? Tonga doesn't have jet fighters, number one, and it doesn't matter which countries have jet fighters. We can get surface-to-air missiles. That's not an impossible thing for people to do. You laugh about this. You think
to spend that much.
Huh?
Only governments are fool enough to spend like that much.
Not if there's an actual threat, dude. If people actually feel like they are under threat from some, you know, aggressive nation state for whatever reason, which, by the way, the thing you're talking about doesn't exist, okay? The things that you're referring to are not happening today. There's a ton of little countries all around the planet that are not being invaded by China, that they're not being invaded by Russia.
They all have treaties with bigger nations. They're all in bed with other governments. Are you going to do that?
I have no idea what the people of New Hampshire. I have no idea what the people of New Hampshire are going to do as an independent nation. But New Hampshire was an independent nation before, and New Hampshire will be an independent nation again. Just because you're afraid, just because there's a bunch of people who live in fear out there, like you, Skeeter, doesn't mean that that's actually what's going to happen here. And you can try to.
I'm afraid that's called being rational.
No, it's not. It's being completely irrational. It's completely irrational.
Feeling is completely irrational.
It's happened before, be and it'll happen again. It happened over in the United Kingdom.
Civil war?
Huh?
You're going to fight a civil war?
Okay, once again, the fear-mongering about the United States invading its own former people.
Last time, there was
someone who fired, allegedly, on a fort. Now, you could argue that that was actually, that was actually fake or whatever, that it was a... That's what I'm looking for.
Last time he was talking about the Civil War.
Yeah, the Civil War.
So basically that was a war that was started by the international banking community at the time. No, I'm talking about the Civil War. It was started by the international bankers.
Will you let the guy answer your point, Skeeter?
And if New Hampshire did succeed, I'm sure that the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Morgans, the people who own the Federal Reserve, you know, all the banks are types, the psychopaths who want and desire power, that love government to use as a platform of power, would want to do something in New Hampshire, would want to, you know, try to create some kind of ruckus. They would probably do some false flags, maybe.
That was what I was thinking.
You know, but New Hampshire is going to be sort of a, like, one of the things is, I just, New Hampshire is going to have to sit comfortable, I'm thinking, and just let everything else melt around it. Because, you know, just to the south of us, you got Massachusetts and you got Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New York, where you really can't have guns. You have massive amounts of people who are essentially useless, just living on, you know, the welfare system for generations now, living in all these cities, and who can't produce anything, who aren't willing to produce anything, don't want to work, don't have a desire.
Well, there's no doubt it's going down, Jay, but I think it'd be better if we can get out before it collapses.
It would be nice to.
But you know, Skeeter is a realistic, even though he's a ridiculous level of it, but he is a real, you know, bringing up a real objection here. It certainly is a common objection, the fear, and thank you for the call, Skeeter, the fear that there's going to be some attack either by China or by, you know, some other big bad international enemy, or more likely, they think in a lot of cases, by the United States. And it just, I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all, because the people in New Hampshire are well armed, number one. Number two, the United States isn't going to be able to get away with what they got away with in the Civil War. This is not the 1800s. News travels at the speed of lightning now instead of, you know, slowly and by horseback. People are going to know if the United States invades its own former state, which will be very unpopular. According to the polls that have been done here and in other states, it was something like 6%. On average, of other state populations were willing to support military force against a seceding state, against a state that secedes peacefully, mind you.
I'm willing to take the risk of the U.S. attacking us for the benefit of being able to buy my number two diesel fuel for like 30 cents a gallon directly from the Russians.
Yeah, and I understand it is a risk. There's no doubt about it. I'm not going to say it's not possible. I'm just saying I don't think that it's very likely that they're going to attack. Because you also have to remember, they would be attacking their own supporters in a lot of ways. Because when New Hampshire secedes from the U.S., it's not going to be 100% that supports secession. It's going to be something less. It'll, you know, let's say it's 70%. Because you have to have 67% or two-thirds to pass a constitutional amendment here in New Hampshire. So it has to be probably at least two-thirds of the population. So let's just say it's 70%, 7 out of 10 people. That's 3 out of 10 people who still support the United States government. 3 out of 10 people in New Hampshire, which would then be an independent nation, who the U.S. government would then be bombing to death in a bombing raid. Like, that's not going to be very popular. That's not going to be a good look for the United States government. It's more likely, if they're going to do something at all, it'll be economic. It'll be some sort of a, you know, they'll try the same crap they tried with Russia or whatever, right? Like cutting the banks off from...
Or maybe they even try doing sanctions and setting up a wall around us or something. But the thing is I don't even really think that we have to technically even succeed. All we got to do is dissolve this corporation, calling it State of New Hampshire. That's basically the only tie to the United States, is a corporate charter issued for the state of New Hampshire, issued by the United States. And that's really it. And the only thing that gives a federal government any jurisdiction here on this particular dirt is the fact that there's so many people that are that have pledged allegiance to the United States, yeah. And they are 14th Amendment federal citizens.
People want the federal government right now. They still, even though they're skeptical, even though they question it more so, I think, than ever, they still are married to the idea of being part of this federal government, and that's what needs to change. It has been a very abusive relationship, but apparently they haven't been beaten hard enough by their federal daddy before they're finally going to change their mind and want to leave this relationship.
All the addicts from the people living in the tents, the drug addicts living in the tents, mm-hmm. in the cities, they want their EBT card, they want their welfare, right up to the corporate executives who are all getting most of the welfare. Like, a very small portion of welfare actually goes to the drug addicts. Most of the welfare that the American people are paying the bill for or are financing, into the future is going towards massive corporations and law firms and military industrial complex. So, I am sure that, New Hampshire Ball Bearing, for example, which is right here in Keene, Timken, New Hampshire Ball Bearing, all of them, a lot of their contracts are aerospace, military.
Sure.
So, yeah, they're definitely very much wanting, not wanting that. And then you have all of your political parasite class, everybody who's going to collect a government pension, whether it be state, federal, or local, they all want that. We got to understand that. The state of New Hampshire is a federal franchise. It is a franchise of the District of Columbia. The state of New Hampshire, that is a corporation, that is. The state of New Hampshire, that is
this land.
Well,
there was the nation of New Hampshire.
Well, the nation of New Hampshire still exists. It hasn't dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
It's still here. The problem is everybody is claiming to be a 14th Amendment U.S. citizen when they get their driver's licenses, when they get any kind of permits, when they fill out their, passport application, they claim that they're a U.S. citizen.
Then they check that little box, right?
Right, and they don't even know what the definition of U.S. citizen is, and there's actually three
different ones, yeah.
According to the Supreme Court. But anyways...
That's not confusing or anything.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's all meant to be confusing. But the thing is people, individuals, and there's a lot of them in New Hampshire, are correcting their citizenship status, and there is a whole bunch of people offering a very similar, sort of passport, application process. You can find them all over the internet. I've heard of, there's at least a dozen guys doing it now, and a lot of them in New Hampshire. So you can check that out. But the thing is we got, and you got to stop asking government for benefits. This is why we need to be investing in our posterity. So a generation from now, we have a whole bunch of young people that are like, I'm strong and confident and competent. I don't need government. That's really got to be the big mission forward here. And the thing is we need to just stop interacting with the federal government. Just tell them no, and stop stepping their jurisdictional traps. Stop accepting their benefits. Stop accepting grants.
Absolutely. I mean, New Hampshire does this on an occasional basis, right? So, for instance, the state government has refused the bribe money from the federal government for decades now on the seatbelts.
Yep.
And so it is proof positive that this can be done. You can say no to their mandates.
Well, New Hampshire was the only state that said no to COVID money, at least one time around.
Then they said yes.
And then they arrested a bunch of people for, making a sort of a big deal about it and creating awareness.
And subsequently dropped the charges, from what I understand, in most of those cases.
Yeah, most of them. I don't know about all of them yet.
Frank Footloose Staples was convicted on one count of disorderly conduct, but it was a total BS conviction, and he's appealing it to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. Let's go to the phones. We've got Dave Ridley on the line, somebody that is a big fan of independence. Dave, I don't know if you heard that last call with Skeeter in California, the sort of the typical, oh no, you're going to get carpet bombed by the U.S. government if you secede, or China is going to invade, this kind of fear-mongering, and I'm wondering if you have anything that you wanted to weigh in on that point.
Yeah, it's not 1750 anymore where you can wipe out a village and nobody knows about it for 3 weeks. I think the appropriate precedents to be looking at are the ones that are recent. How did this play out in Catalonia? How did it play out in Slovenia? How did it play out in Estonia?
Well, it didn't go well in Catalonia. I mean,
it can be. Sometimes it's violent, and sometimes it's violent on both sides. But none of this stuff has played out the way the U.S. Civil War did recently.
Yeah, I think the best example would be Great Britain exiting from the European Union. I think that, to me, has the most parallels of what New Hampshire will be looking at doing, right? The European Union is a group of nations that came together for the purposes of whatever and making a bigger government together. And BRICS said, okay, Britain said, we're out. And there was it took a long time to make it happen. Some people weren't happy about it, but no one dropped a bomb on either side.
Do you know how much easier it would be for me to get livestock processed here in New Hampshire if
without the USDA?
No USDA. There would be all kinds of butcher shops starting up. The economic hustle and bustle would just be...
It would be amazing.
Amazing. I mean, it's actually pretty good in New Hampshire now. Anybody who wants has a job in New Hampshire.
What are we calling about, really?
The other thing is that it's the most craven thing to say. Well... the reason why I'm going to help the federal government is because they're really bad, right? I mean, that's just, the worse they are, the more important it is to discooperate with them.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, it is, craven is the exact correct word there, Ridley. We are talking about cowardice, and that is what Skeeter represents. He represents the ultimate in cowardice. He's someone who is not willing to do anything more than vote. To try to change the situation that he's in. We had him on, he's a regular caller these days, and he called in the other day, and I asked him, well, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to achieve this this aggressive government that you're looking for? Because he calls himself an accelerationist, and he said he's voting. It's like, well, that's never going to change anything.
So, yeah, I don't know how long I would be able to take it while they're pulling my fingernails off. Sooner or later, they'd get me to give in on something, I guess. But, it's not like they haven't ever done anything to me, right? I have been subjected to nakedness and temporary blindness and cold and humiliation and all the things that go with being arrested by the feds. In my case, handing out flyers.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that I've done something, to show that you can fight them.
Peacefully.
I never gave them any money for, when they were demanding $125 from me. But I, other people have done far, far, more brave things against this government. And there's just no reason to help them.
Yeah, and I think that we need more bravery rather than more cravenness, for lack of a better word. And I think that courage is very infectious. When you see people behaving in a courageous manner, it can be very inspiring to those who are just simply watching. I know that's what happened to me when I was watching the earliest videos from New Hampshire that were coming out in 2005 and 2004. You were involved in some of this, Ridley, with the Cannings and some of the earliest movers, the Canarios, that were here doing civil disobedience and just making a stand, not in a violent way, but in a peaceful manner, showing that you could do things from a peaceful perspective and yet have a very large impact and impact the viewer in a really important way to show that there's another option besides just voting every 4 years to try to change the system from the inside. You can take direct action and you can make a difference out there in a positive manner, and I think that that's just so important. And if we can attract more people who are willing to actually stand up for themselves, and again, being peaceful while we do this secession thing, then we're going to be full of a bunch of great, courageous activists who are not concerned with the fear that people like Skeeter are trying to propagate, that they will not fall for that trick.
Yeah.
Anything else, Ridley? Did we even talk about what you called about?
Yeah, I was calling about something completely different, just
okay,
like
great.
My son. I wanted to kind of start what may be this would be a little bit of a series, every few months I'll probably call in about this, but I call it This Year in Free State History.
Okay.
You may be aware the Free State Project lamentably deleted its own history around 2020 by taking down its web forum.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Free State Project Forum, which is where so much of the the original chatter about which state should be chosen and, like, you know, who's going to move and what's going to happen and some of the original ideas that were being thrown out. You were on that forum. I was there. This goes back to probably, what, 2002, this forum? It had a long history.
Yeah, they spun up the forum in, I believe, mid-2002.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, it was really a remark. Well, not remarkable, but it was at the time it was a mundane, but looking back, a really exciting means of communication that really kind of doesn't exist anymore, except to some extent on the Shire forum.
Was anyone, Ridley, do you know when they took that forum down, did they at least offer up the database to anyone that wanted to download it so they could make a copy and put it somewhere else?
They announced they were going to do it and gave about a month's notice, I believe. So anyone wanting to do that probably would have been able to do it.
Okay.
At the time, I thought it would be bad, and I was nervous about it, but I didn't think realize just how bad it would be. And that now that I want to, when I want to go back, you know, anytime I want to go back and verify something, it's just like it's been erased from history.
Oof.
Yeah, that's what happens when the Library of Alexandria goes digital.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to erase it if it's only on one centralized, you know, platform.
Well, when we took the Free Talk Live BBS down, we actually didn't take it down. We left it up, and it's just you can't sign up for it. You can't post to it, so it's essentially frozen in time. So the Free Talk Live BBS is still there at bbs.freetalklive.com. Last I looked, at least, it was still operating. But, you know, the reason we ended up taking it down was it had just kind of fallen off into disuse. And I know that was true of the Free State Project Forum as well. It had kind of become a place where very few people were active. So I understand why, you know, the forum was taken down, but I think that they should have made the database available. And if they did, then maybe somebody did download it, although it doesn't seem like it's popped back up that any of us have heard of, at least.
Well, I will have to go look at the BBS, at your BBS, and see if that might be a good reflection of some of the history, because I know I posted there a lot when it was up, and that should be a way for me to go back and at least look at some of the Free Stater posts there talking about what was going on at the time. Digital, yeah, it's bad in some ways, but it means you can easily make copies, so it's just... It was just a flub up in not getting a copy of that Free State Forum. But anyway, there were a series of interesting things that happened, and I'm focusing on this year. By this year, I mean 20 years ago this year, okay. 2003.
This was a big year. This was a huge year for the Free State Project, 2003. That was the year they chose New Hampshire.
Correct. And, of course, that's the thing that probably almost everyone in our movement at least remembers. But, yeah, in October of 2003, the 5,000, you know, early signers to the Free State Project voted among 10 states which one they thought they'd move to.
Ridley, do you want to talk more about it? Do you want to hang on and talk more about that?
Yeah.
All right. More with Dave Ridley talking about some history. 20 years ago, almost, October, so we're coming up in 2 months on the 20-year anniversary of New Hampshire being chosen as the destination for the Free State Project. It's the reason, Jay, you and I are sitting in this room together right now. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. teamg'day.com. teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Democratic presidential hopeful Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the U.S. is failing to control the southern border.
We need some barrier so that we know everybody who's crossed, and we can do that. And we can, and if we have the personnel, we can stop that.
While speaking in Southern California Thursday, Kennedy said immigration reform will be one of his top priorities if elected president. He said the current policy is not serving anyone's interest and called for more barriers and personnel. The FAA says a Delta flight had to evacuate passengers after its tires blew and caught fire last night. Delta confirms the Boeing 757's tires blew and part of the landing gear were hot while landing at Hartsfield-Jackson International in Atlanta. Nearly 200 passengers evacuated using emergency slides, and at least one was injured. Delta apologized. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Upcoming summit that they're going to be having, their annual meeting in South Africa. Of course, we're referring to a nation, national group of, five nations right now. It could be expanding. In fact, the word is it is going to expand to include new nations as of this upcoming meeting they're going to have in just a few weeks. But it already includes 42% of the world's population in just those five countries. So this is becoming a real economic powerhouse. Mexico is trying to join BRICS amongst something like almost two dozen other countries. But we'll talk about that coming up here. It's Ian and Jay in the studio. Also, want to let you know about Mark Warden and the Porcupine Real Estate. We've been talking here about the Free State Project, about this migration of people who are coming from all over the United States and indeed all over the world to be part of the largest migration of libertarians on the planet, the largest concentration of anarchists, liberty-loving anarchists, voluntarists, whatever you call yourself. If you love freedom, you love human freedom, individual liberty, then you really ought to be looking at the Free State Project as a potential destination because there's nowhere else like this. Now, Ridley called in here. Dave Ridley is on the line, a longtime Free Stater since before New Hampshire was even chosen, and that's what you wanted to call about tonight, Dave, is the sort of the history of the Free State Project going back 20 years to 2003. What was it that happened in 2003? One of the biggest things that happened was the Free State Project had its vote of the 5,000 members, and they chose from a slate of 10 candidate states, New Hampshire, and they chose it overwhelmingly, but I wanted to hear what you had to say about it, so go ahead.
Yeah, there were other things that happened along there, but Wyoming came in second.
That's right.
They were looking at 10 low-population states without raving authoritarian governments already in place. And as a result, there were a lot of people that were really big on Wyoming, and we lost a lot of them when New Hampshire was picked. And so our membership roll dropped by 2,000 or so.
Oh, wow.
Immediately, as soon as that choice was made. It would have been even worse if Wyoming had been picked. I think we would have lost a lot of the New Hampshire people.
Mm. And by the way, the Wyoming thing never panned out into much. There was a competing organization that was formed shortly after the vote called Free State Wyoming because there was a bunch of people who just they weren't willing to leave the West ultimately, and they wanted to move to a Western state. And so some of them did move to Wyoming. They subsequently disappeared. The Wyoming Free State Wyoming organization held a camping event for a few years and then subsequently stopped updating their website in 2007, and nothing has ever been heard since.
Actually, in 2003, both Keith Carlson and I toured Wyoming to kind of investigate it for the Free State Project. Keith is still active. He's still in state. In my case, I guess I went after him. And yeah, I'm a Colorado. I grew up in Colorado, and I like that climate a lot better. And so my heart just ached, when I was in Wyoming and realized I don't think this is going to work. It's beautiful, but I'm just not seeing it. And it was the distances.
Mm-hmm.
The local reaction to us.
Really?
People were friendly enough, but it just wasn't like New Hampshire where, it was like the state was begging us to move here. This is the only state where obviously the governor, invited us to move here, the sitting governor at the time, and the Libertarian Party put together a very organized effort to recruit Free Staters to vote for New Hampshire. No other state really was able to put that together. And, when you're moving somewhere, a key priority is that you're not kind of unwelcome, right? You want to feel welcome if you're going to be an outsider.
For sure.
And it's difficult to achieve that. And this is the only place where it seemed achievable.
Well, yeah, and I think you made a great point, especially when it comes to the size of the land. I mean, look, Wyoming's just a huge place and relatively low population. I mean, even by comparison to New Hampshire, if I recall correctly, Wyoming is the lowest population of all the 50 states. I think I remember it being around 450,000 at the time. I don't know if it's grown since then in the last 20 years, but that's like a third basically of the New Hampshire population, and it's spread out over a much, much larger landmass that also doesn't have the benefit of international borders like New Hampshire does. And we were just talking about secession as a real possibility here someday, and it certainly would be easier to secede when you're surrounded by an international seaport,
right?
And Canada.
Yeah, that's huge for New Hampshire.
Absolutely. And it's a relatively small place to where if you need to drive to the state capital, which is centrally located, unless you're in the most northern parts of the state, it's probably no more than an hour or so maximum for most of New Hampshire to get to the capital. That is not the case with a state the size of Wyoming.
Anyway, as time goes by, history is always a threat. We're always at risk of losing our history, and it just seems important to start remembering while we're able to remember. And I could tell you a lot of other things about 2003. I should probably just make a separate call sometime and pick it up, from there.
Yeah, that'd be fun because there's probably a lot I don't remember about it. I mean, the vote sticks out. I mean, that was obviously the biggest thing that happened for the Free State Project in 2003. But as I recall, there were also some people that moved before the vote even happened. At least one lady, I think, Jackie, is, if I recall her name correctly, she's sort of considered to be the first mover or like mover number zero to New Hampshire because she just went ahead and committed to it before the vote even happened and made the move here.
Yeah, and that was significant because the Boston television station did a documentary which heavily featured her. Of course, she's a very winsome character, especially in 2003 she was. And so there was she just really created a profound vibe, you know, for what Free Staters were.
Mm-hmm.
She was just such an impressive individual. And the that documentary kind of set the tone, and then I guess Michael Peltier and his wife moved right about the same time, and they may have been the first movers after the state was picked.
Now, I believe she's still here. I don't know about the Peltiers. Are they still around, or did they end up?
I haven't heard much about them recently.
Yeah, I've seen Jackie within the last couple of years, so I know she's still. I think she was at the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. Their dinner that they had, if I recall, last year, maybe it was the year before. Ridley, keep us in the loop on these historic moments for the Free State Project. That seems like a fun project, and I appreciate your call tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, man. That's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. When did you pick up on it, Jay Noon? What was, do you remember when you first heard about the Free State Project?
Yep. My brother Josh was playing Pumpkin Fest,
and you
walked up to him after you heard one of his songs and, like, gave him some Free State Project propaganda, and my brother's like, dude, this guy Ian told me about this thing called the Free State Project, and it was like 4-ish, 5-ish, I don't know, you were living here, I guess,
you
were doing a show from here, but yeah, you heard...
2005, you said?
I don't remember exactly.
No, I was here in 2006, so it must have been
maybe that, but it was at a pumpkin festival, and his band was called Eighth Escape at the time.
Really?
And
I don't even remember that.
And his set has a lot of politically motivated songs.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's what caught my attention.
That is what caught your attention. You kind of made it a point, you know, for the band to come off stage. And you talked to him. He said he talked to you for like an hour. And then I didn't go to Pork Fest, I believe, until 2000. He went to Pork Fest once. And then the next year, he's like, oh, you got to come, you got to check this. And I almost didn't go, and I got up there on, like, Friday night.
Did you go to the Gunstock one, or was it at Rogers?
It was at Rogers. Okay. I never went to Gunstock.
Okay.
And the first Pork Fest I went to, I got there, you know, Friday at, like, you know, 11 o'clock at night. And then, you know, the next year, I got there at Thursday, and then it wasn't, you know, a couple of years before I started doing the whole week, because that was my, when I was in the hay business,
that
was a very busy time of year for me. But, yeah, so did Josh, you approached my brother at a pumpkin festival.
It's all my fault, then.
So I internet searched, and thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
This is great.
We still got to get Josh up here one of these days.
He's still living in Massachusetts.
Poor guy.
Free State Wyoming Forum. So I just internet searched Free State Wyoming.
Yeah. Did their forum still up?
Well, the last post was from a couple weeks ago, June 13th, 2023. And it's fswforum.org, Free State Wyoming Forum.
I'm amazed that's still around.
There you go. I didn't even know there was a Free State Wyoming until I think I heard it once before, but that reminded me of it.
You said there was a post 3 weeks, 2 weeks?
Oh, June 13th, yeah.
There was. Not a whole lot of other ones. So
nope.
If you look at the rest of the forum, it's 2010, 2019, 2012, 2017, 2016, 2015.
Yeah, it's not that
2017,
active.
2017, so,
Wyoming's a nice place. You know, I spent a lot of time in northeast Colorado, which was basically, you know, not far from Wyoming. I did go to Wyoming once in a while when I was out there. And I actually like everywhere I've gone. I can't say, you know, anywhere that's, like, not in a city, I like it.
Wow. You can't even click on the actual forum if you want to go and look at the post. Maybe you have to be a member, I'm guessing, to actually...
I just looked at a post. I'm not a member.
That's weird. I'm getting a 403 error. It's
I did it from my phone.
It's telling me I'm forbidden from going in there. Anyway, good luck to them out there if they're still out there. It's just you never hear anything about it. There's never any kind of coverage. The They stopped having their yearly jamboree back in 2007, at least according to their website. So, you know, that's kind of what people expected to happen in a state as large as Wyoming. Like, you can't really have a meaningful concentration in a place that huge. And I think that's one of the reasons why New Hampshire won so overwhelmingly, beyond the fact that there was a tremendously persuasive 101 reasons document that was released prior to the vote. And there were some pitch pieces from the other nine states. Every state had its advocates, the people that presumably already lived there that didn't want to move. They came up with whatever pitch they could make, and the Free State Project cobbled them all into one document that they physically sent to the first 5,000 members. So you received a, 40-page booklet or something like that, where you page through it, and each state made their pitch to you to try to, you know, support us. And New Hampshire just blew the rest of them out of the water with their 101 reasons to move to New Hampshire, which ended up becoming a documentary film in 2014. And Justin O'Donnell, who's a Free Stater from Massachusetts also, he ended up rewriting the 101 reasons into a book that just came out late last year, if I recall correctly. And that book is available, I think it's online for free. And, of course, you can get a printed version for a small cost through Amazon. But if you go to 101reasonsfilm.com, there's a link to his book there right up at the top of the site. You can still watch the old documentary, which is somewhat relevant. But I know Justin is planning on doing a whole new revamping or redoing from scratch of the 101 Reasons. So taking his book, which is completely up to date, and, I mean, we're talking about a document that was 20 years old at this point. He has updated that, and he's done a really good job of it. I've read the whole book, and it's really persuasive. He's got a lot of new information in there about what makes New Hampshire so special and why liberty-minded people should be choosing to move here. But he is going to produce that into a film. I don't know the current status of it. I would love to actually talk to him and maybe, you know, get an update from him on that. But I'm very excited to see the new 101 Reasons to Move to New Hampshire documentary, because the new book is great. So if you guys are out there and, you know, moving to New Hampshire sounds attractive and you want to dig deeper, I recommend his book. It really does get into some of the wins, the success stories that we've had here in New Hampshire, and some of the things that are just, you know, historically really good about being here. And that's something that we could just go off on if we wanted to. But we were talking about BRICS, and I want to get back into that. And then coming up, you've got a story about some people who were unjustly targeted by the police here in New Hampshire, Jay, and I want to definitely get into that, because this is not a free state. I know people like to go around there and talk about New Hampshire as though it's the quote-unquote free state. It's still a state. There's still state actors here. There's still state aggressors here.
We have a lot of parasites that are fighting hard to make sure that their pension is going to be there. And another thing we've got to understand, everywhere in the country, people got to understand most of their taxes, the majority of their taxes is going to pay pensions. Not for goods and services, for pensions.
That's bad news for sure.
It's only going to get worse, because these pensions are guaranteed. And when the stock market goes down and things start to collapse, they're just going to, you know, the state's just going to keep on pointing guns at taxpayers to pay more taxes.
Yeah, we've got a lot that needs to change here for sure. When we say New Hampshire is the most free of all states, it's a true statement by different metrics out there, including the Freedom in the 50 States study that's been done on a yearly or bi-yearly basis for the last several years. So, I mean, we do have some good things going for us, but we got a lot of work to do. So, BRICS. We were talking about this BRICS alliance. They're coming up with their yearly summit that's happening in just a few weeks, where they may be extending BRICS. I don't know if they're going to just keep the acronym as is or just start adding more letters to it. I guess time will tell. But they are going to be meeting in Johannesburg this month to discuss enlarging the bloc. This story from MSN and Cryptopolitan reporting, the potential expansion has the support of influential voices within the alliance, such as Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. However, the process requires careful consideration, with India and Brazil seeking to frame guidelines before admitting new members. There'll be an opportunity for BRICS leaders to meet face-to-face with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, confirming his attendance in South Africa, dispelling prior speculation. On the other hand, Vladimir Putin will participate virtually, while the group representing more than 42% of the world's population deliberates on critical matters. I mean, that is a huge number, right? 42% of the world's population. I don't know what the U.S. percentage is, but it's much smaller than that. I mean, 300 million people isn't exactly a lot of people.
But that 42% of the population is a population of people who are, you know, stronger. They're more willing to, like, you know, work hard to get mm-hmm. what they want.
That's because a lot of them are impoverished.
Right. Yeah. They've been struggling for years. They've been in poverty. They're not afraid to work is a lot of the big thing. And they're starting to become more evolved and smarter with, you know, the technology and internet. And also, mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of them are getting their brains destroyed too, by the internet, like what's been happening here for a very long time in the United States now. For 20 years, we've had basically high speed internet in all the major cities. And, but, you know, all the Americans are just pretty much fat and happy and, you know, just,
sure.
you know, big happy time. To eat their cheap, you know, government subsidized food, to where a lot, I bet you the people, most of the people in these countries have had to, like, grow and harvest their food because food is so expensive because it's not government subsidized in those nations like it is here.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like this, you know, that Free Talk Live thinks BRICS is some sort of freedom bastion. It's not. I mean, these are not free countries, right? Like, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. I mean, these are oppressive nation states, just like every nation state is oppressive. The United States isn't even the freest country in the world by various different metrics out there. The freedom of the economic freedom indexes don't even have the U.S. in some cases in the top 10. These aren't freedom-friendly places. It's just noteworthy because they are economically growing. These are places where they have clawed back some of the regulations. Like, I mean, China's gotten worse in recent years, as I understand it, but there were a couple decades where they had a lot more economic freedom to start companies and things like that. And as you said, Jay, these are people who are hungrier.
Yes.
Literally.
Yep.
And those are people who are willing to work hard. We know that immigrants to the United States, those who are fortunate enough to actually be allowed to immigrate here, tend to be more entrepreneurial.
Oh, yeah. They got an awesome hustle. Yep. These guys got all kinds of jobs. I mean, look at all the Indian guys running, you know, convenience stores. A lot of them own, a lot of those families own several convenience stores.
Hotels in this area are owned by Middle Eastern guys.
Sure, they own convenience stores. The same family owns hotels, trucking companies. You know, as they're having 7-8 kids, and all the kids are growing up in the stores. They're like, you know, 4 or 5 years old. They're like my kids working on a farm. That's the way these Indian culture raises their kids, and then the kids are 17, 18 years old, and they got landscaping businesses, trucking businesses.
Very entrepreneurial. And the average immigrant to the United States is far more likely to be of the entrepreneurial mindset than the average American that's just born here, you know, with a silver spoon in their mouth.
And that mindset in those countries where you're under such government oppression and you're poor, and they're like, you know, basically communist, socialist type countries, mm-hmm. and where, you know, like you said, they're not free at all, but that mindset, you know, does make these people strong and hungry, and they have to, like when Russia collapsed, you know, in what was it, 89 or 92 or something, a good friend of mine, he likes to talk about this, he was talking about, because it was a communist country, that you had to engage in the black market just to basically maintain yourself and mm-hmm. have enough
to
food.
Eat. Yeah.
Nobody had lawns. Everybody had gardens. Every kid was maintaining gardens and doing mm-hmm. like actual work. There was none of this, you know, basically nonsense going on because you couldn't afford it. So when everything collapsed, the black market was so strong that the people were able to continue and essentially do okay. To where here in America, there's so few people that, like, if their card, they can't swipe their card. I don't care if it's your Visa Platinum or your EBT card. There's a lot of people that if that card doesn't work, they're screwed.
No doubt about it. The one more point here they make is that there's apparently a Chinese-backed new development bank that they've established, which they say is more effective and generous than the IMF, illustrates the resolve to lift global economies without sinking them, a powerful statement against the traditional financial giants. This move away from the U.S. dollar also comes as a response to pressing sanctions by the U.S. against developing countries as BRICS seeks to end the reliance on the greenback. And there's so much there's so much propaganda from U.S. sources, like the big Forbes magazine, Financial Times, these big sort of economic reporting places, which they love to publish these articles like, thaw, the U.S. dollar will never be taken down from its dominance. And there's a lot of denial out there around the potential end of dollarization for the world. But yet, meanwhile, while people are sticking their fingers in their ears and effectively yelling, la, 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 they just don't want to hear the news about what's happening here, and that you've got BRICS possibly going forward with some sort of BRICS currency. Again, we're talking about 42% of the world's population right now. And what's it going to be when they add Mexico? What's it going to be when they add, you know, what was it, Venezuela, Argentina? I mean, so many different nations are looking to join BRICS. This could be a huge economic boon for these people out in these other countries, especially if they get rid of the dollar holdings in these central banks. The thing that's going to happen, and you kind of touched on this earlier, I think, Jay, when we were talking about the inflation rates of the different central banks of the world and how the U.S. is so much worse as far as, you know, it's got its tentacles in all these other places. Well, if these other places push back and say, you know what, we're getting rid of these dollars, they sell off their dollar holdings, those dollars don't just disappear. They have to go somewhere.
Well, you've been seeing this happen for a long time. So one of the things I did in Colorado is I would
go ahead. The dollars come back to the United States.
Right.
And that is what is going to happen if these countries start to just jettison billions of dollars, or I don't know how many hundreds of billions or whatever, and then they just start flowing back into the United States, flowing back into the U.S. economy. Because when they print out trillions of dollars, or, you know, increment numbers in a computer system, which is usually how they do it, when they print trillions of dollars into the economy, it's going across the whole world, and so it's diluted more by doing that. So if all that comes back, or even a fraction of that comes back, you're going to see prices go up dramatically, I think, in the U.S. So anyway, go ahead.
So when I was out in Colorado, one of the jobs I did is I would go for my stepfather and a couple of other of his friends and partners, I would go to these equipment auctions. And I would kind of survey the equipment, check it out, and call them up, give them a report, and then be there and bid on this equipment. And I could tell you, I really didn't get anything bought. The stuff that, for example, a John Deere 4950 farm tractor was probably built sometime in the early 80s. Nice tractor. It's, mm-hmm. you know, 200 horsepower, four-wheel drive, got a full cab, air conditioning, all that stuff. And, you know, that tractor, today's equivalent, that tractor is probably about $200,000, maybe $275,000. That tractor was, you know, maybe $12,000, $14,000 in the 80s. And Whoa. These tractors were bringing like $100,000, $125,000. And my stepfather was
like, that's crazy.
Yeah, if you can buy that one for 20 grand, let's take it. You know, that's about what they're worth.
Right?
Well, no, the guys on the phone were buying them. And what it was all, we were all getting outbid. Everybody there at these auctions were getting really? Outbid by the guys on the phone. And
where
the guy,
are they calling from?
Brazil. Who basically are you? Online auctions. You know, Brazil, Argentina. There was actually some buyers that were there in person that were Russians. And actually, you see a lot of Russians at like a lot of auctions, car auctions, equipment auctions, construction auctions. And then the exporter business is huge right now. The exporters are paying top dollar for everything. So a lot of good American equipment is leaving
going
America.
Out. That's interesting. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. And isn't Brazil one of the biggest meat producing countries on the planet? We got hour number 3 on the way. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.